Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When trials and difficulties come, we should respond with prayer. Because if we don't ask, we don't receive. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, accomplishes much. And we should be praying for one another. May God allow us to get to know one another good enough so that we can pray for one another because we share with one another.
We will all have difficulties and trials in our walk with Christ. But as I'm sure many of you listening to this can attest to, God uses those trials and difficulties in mighty ways in our lives and in the lives of those around us. If you're going through a tough time right now, please stay with us as we see God move and answer prayer to deliver Peter from the violent hands of Herod. With Acts chapter 12, 1 through 25, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison and struck Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off of his hands. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." And then he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." Now, Peter's sleeping and a light shines in the room. Now, if a light is turned on in my room, I'm waking up. Peter don't have no problem with sleeping. He stays asleep. So what does the angel do? He strikes him in the side. Isn't that a great statement? The angel's like, "Get up." And then Peter gets, and then it says he raised him up. Peter woke up and looked around. The angel's like, "Get up." And Peter's like, "Oh." He's like, "Get dressed, get girded and put on your sandals." So Peter gets his stuff on, puts on his sandals, and the angel says, "Get your coat." Did you read it there? "Get your coat and let's go." Peter's still dilly-dallying while the angel's trying to get him to take off and really go. And then in verse 9, he says, "So he went and he followed him and did not know what was done by him with the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard post, they came to an iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them on its own accord." Now, this is before the days of automated gates. Iron doors open before me all the time. Doors and stores open to me all the time, right? This is before that. God's moving here. It says, "which leads to the city, which opened to them in its own accord. And they went out and they went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, 'Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all of the expectations of the Jewish people.'" Now the believers are responding in prayer and they're going to respond to the answer. Verse 12. "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark." Now, during biblical times, there were only about 80 names for men. Right now, I don't know how many names there are for kids. There's a lot of names for people. But when I was a kid, it was Tom, Steve, Robert, you know, Mark. That's the names. Now, there's a lot of names for kids. In their day, they only had about 80. So there were a lot of Marys. So when it says they're at Mary's house, they're not at Mary Magdalene's house. They're not at Mary, the mother of Jesus' house. They're at Mary, that was another one who was at before the cross, and she had a son named John. And because there's so many Johns, they had to call him John Mark, okay? So, and John Mark we're gonna meet later on. It is when Paul's about to die, and he's writing 2 Timothy, he says to them, "Send John Mark to me." He's in prison in Rome. "Send John Mark to me, for he's a comfort to me." John Mark here's around 20 years old. This is 10 years after Jesus. So he was a kid when Jesus was walking the earth. Now John Mark's about 20 years old. But he's well known when Luke is writing this. And so he writes, "They went to Mary's house, who was the mother of John Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came and answered." I don't know whether that's a good name to name your kids or not. You looking for a biblical name, Rhoda? It was a television show. What was it, the 70s? So there was a television show with Rhoda, but I don't know. It says it's a girl, so she's a young lady. And it says, "When Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. She recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness. She didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "You are beside yourself." So she knocks on the door. She's like, "Who is it?" "It's Peter." "Oh my goodness." She runs back to tell everybody. Now Peter's on the lam. He's escaped from prison. And he's like, he's standing outside the door. Now I know this happens. Go, they keep arguing inside. Yep, she kept insisting that it was so. And they said, "It's his angel." Now I don't know what their theology was about angels, but when you die, you don't become an angel. Maybe they just meant spirit. By the way, when a bell rings, an angel doesn't get their wings. Maybe they meant a spirit, but that he'd already died. Now, Peter continued knocking. So Peter's like, they're inside arguing about whether or not it's Peter. He's like, "Come on, guys." And we know he's nervous about this. He says, Peter continued knocking, and they opened the door, and they saw him, and they were astonished, but motioning to them with his hands to keep silent. So they're like, "Peter," and he's like, "Jeez, I just escaped." So he motions with his hands for them to keep silent. He declared how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go and tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he departed to another place. Now you might think, well, James already died. What does he mean, go tell him something to James? Within the first 10 years of the church, the brother of Jesus, James, had become the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And the brethren worked with James. In a few chapters, we're going to go to a council in Acts 15, and James runs it. Not even the apostles aren't running it. James is the one who runs it. Peter speaks up at it, but James is the pastor of the church that is there. Now, James and Jesus' other brothers did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. We're told that they went to rescue him because he was out of his mind, which is another way of saying he was crazy. They were like, "You're out here telling people that you are around when Abraham was around. You're out here and we come to get you, to rescue you." But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that when Jesus was revealing himself to people after the resurrection, one of the people that he revealed himself to was James, his brother. So James believed and became one of the apostles. Became one of the early church pastors. You have any brothers? What would it take for you to believe that your brother is the Messiah? What would it take for James, who didn't believe during the ministry? And so it says, go and tell James and the rest of the brethren. And then it says, and he departed and he went to another place. So he took off. Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers, which means that was a big deal. Peter's gone. And they're like, where is he? What were you doing? How'd you let him go? I didn't do it. About what had happened to Peter, verse 19. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. This is what a king can do. This is what a king appointed by Claudius, the emperor, could do. And he went down to Judea of Caesarea and stayed there. He left Jerusalem and he went down to Caesarea. Now I'm going to read the end of this chapter. I wasn't going to do it, but it's the end of it. We find Herod dying here. So Herod kills John in the beginning. He dies here. Let me just tell you about this account. We know that this account is true, not just because it's in the Bible, and we believe it ultimately because it's in the scripture, but we also have other accounts in history of how Herod Agrippa I died. And he died in Caesarea. Josephus, who wrote Antiquity of the Jews and the Jewish Wars, was a Jewish historian around 70 AD with Titus, and he wrote about how he died. And he said that when he came out in Caesarea, that his royal robe had like sequins on it. They didn't call it sequins. I don't know what you'd call it. But he had different pieces of metal that reflected on it, and it glittered and glowed, and everyone started chanting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." So we know that this happened. Now we get the biblical account of that. It says, now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. That's the region just above modern day Israel. It says, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend. So Tyre and Sidon made Blastus their friend. And if you're looking for a boy's name, Blastus is not a good name. Name him something else. You don't want him living up to his name if his name is Blastus. So it goes on to say, I hear people going, shh. I thought it was funny. I don't know. I'm sorry. It says, they asked for peace. So these are Tyre and Sidon asking for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king of the country. So he was responsible for getting them food. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in a royal apparel, sat on the throne and gave an oration. He gave a speech to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him. Anywhere else in this chapter we have an angel of the Lord striking anybody? Striking Peter to deliver him. But, you know, the Bible says that people are put in positions of authority because God puts them there. And with great position comes great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And here this king is, misusing his position. And because he doesn't glorify God, an angel strikes him and kills him. Think about that for an angel too. An angel delivered, we go, amen. Can angels strike and kill? Yes, they can. We have it right here. And so the angel strikes him because he did not give glory to God. It's interesting, it doesn't say because he killed James, but because he didn't give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Now, I did some research yesterday. I've fallen in love with research, and there's a lot of things I love to research, but researching why people die from worms wasn't one of them. It wasn't very fun. But I did learn there is a certain kind of a tapeworm that's a smaller tapeworm that is in sheep-raising countries, which Israel is a sheep-raising country, that your innards get infested. The article said millions. I can't imagine that. Millions. And you get cysts on your liver that can burst, and these worms can get everywhere, and you can die from it. Now, that's just one way in which you can die from worms. I thought I would get you guys something right before lunch, breakfast, whatever. You're welcome. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem, where they had fulfilled their ministry. They brought the gift from Antioch to Judea, and also took with them John, whose surname is Mark. Now we're going to get John, Mark continuing on, and we're going to get their missionary journeys that go on from here. Now, three things in closing, quickly. Number one, don't expect that we won't have trials, difficulties, and troubles. God uses them to do in our lives what he needs to do. But if you find yourself in the midst of trials, difficulties, and troubles, there's a couple of things to do. Number one, pray you would be delivered. Number two, know that no matter what, you're not going to stop serving and following God, even in the midst of difficulties. Number three, knows that whom God loves, he disciplines. And this may be a discipline of the Lord. And if you repent, that will stop. Remember, the church in Corinth was taking communion wrong, and God made some of them sick and even killed some of them. This is how serious it is. And then finally, when trials and difficulties come, we should respond with prayer. Because if we don't ask, we don't receive. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, the Bible says, accomplishes much. And we should be praying for one another. May God allow us to get to know one another good enough so that we can pray for one another because we share with one another. That takes cultivating relationships where you know you can trust someone with the hurts in your heart. May God do that with us. May we be that kind of church to where we will pray for one another, be there with each other. Finally, expect God to answer your prayers. Yes is an obvious answer. No is an obvious answer as well. I've told my kids when they were little, my youngest wanted to have a pocket knife really young. Don't remember how young he was, 3 years old, maybe four. Dad, can I have a pocket knife? No. Really, it was wait, wasn't it? Wait, he could have a pocket knife later, but he had to wait till he could finally have one. So yes, no, and wait. And sometimes no is the best answer you could get. Because you don't know whether it's going to be good for you or bad for you. There was a theologian named Garth Brooks. who said, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." And if you're familiar with that song, you'll understand exactly what he's talking about. And although I have no idea where Garth stands with the Lord, it is true. Sometimes we should thank God for not answering our prayers, because sometimes it's not what we need. But know that God does answer prayers, yes, no, and wait. And we should be willing to accept it. Stand with me, would you, and let's pray together. Father, thank you for so many things that we see here. Thank you that we can know that, hey, you don't always deliver. Sometimes people die. Sometimes we die. Sometimes we go to be with you. And we could say that James was ultimately delivered because he's in your presence. And we could say that Peter was delivered from prison and had to go on doing the work you'd called him to do. Lord, we trust you. We love you. We thank you that you don't always answer our prayers the way we want. We trust you in answering our prayers. And we pray that you would give us the grace to be able to receive by faith that which you want to change and do, but also to understand when we are going through difficulties and you will take us through it, what we must learn from it. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you have never given your life to Christ, Jesus said you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of heaven. This means going to church isn't enough. Someone said that going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to a McDonald's makes you a hamburger, or going into a garage makes you a car. But a lot of people think, I grew up in a Christian church. I go to church. I'm okay. But really, are you? Do you really have a relationship with him? You have to know him. Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And some are going to say, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do miracles in your name? And Jesus will say to them, away from me, I never knew you. That's the key, knowing him. You have to know him, love him, be born again, be filled with the Spirit. And so the Bible tells us how we do that. It says in John 1:12 that as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe in his name. So this, you have to say, Lord, I want you in. Lord, come into my life. He's waiting for you to do that. You say, well, I would be a Christian. I mean, I go to church. God should know. I'm waiting for him to do something. You have to say, Lord, I want you. I want to be your disciple. I invite you in. He's already drawn you. He sent us out to make disciples of all nations. You have to respond. You have to be born again. Your spirit has to be brought to life. And if that doesn't happen, then you will never be in that relationship with him. Now, maybe some of you guys here have raised your hand or made commitments before to Christ, but you didn't follow through. You know you have to make that right. And if you're here today and you're ready to begin following him, you're ready to become a Christian, you're ready to become a disciple, be filled with the Spirit, be used by him, become the light and the salt, as Jesus said that we were, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Right where you are, just raise your hand. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you as you're surrendering your life to him. God bless you, ma'am. Under the balcony, God bless you, ma'am, as well. That's awesome. Don't let this moment pass by. You've been waiting. You've been drawn. You've been interested. You've been wondering what church is all about, and here you are. God bless you. Just raise your hand now. Say, Lord, I want you, and I want to know you. God bless you. Behind the post from me. That's tremendous. God's got a plan for all of you guys. God bless you up in the balcony. That's great. Today's the day of salvation. God bless you, sir. That's awesome. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raise their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. And I turn from my sin that I can live for you, that I can be a disciple, that I can follow you in the name of Jesus. Amen. welcome to the family of God. How exciting. The Bible says when you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the family of God. We are children of God, and now you are a child of God. The old song we used to sing in Sunday school that we're all children of God isn't true. We are children of God when we are adopted into His family. And by faith today, you've trusted in Him by raising your hand. Raising your hand doesn't save you. Praying a prayer doesn't save you. But you raised your hand because of the faith that you wanted to receive Christ. And you prayed a prayer because you wanted Christ to come into your life. And it's that faith that saved you. The Bible says you are saved by God's grace. It is a free gift. You can't do anything to earn it. But by faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. May you find yourself truly established deeply in Christ. May you be serious about learning God's word, loving Him, presenting yourself to Him and saying, Lord, I am yours. You are a brand new believer. God's got some things that He's going to do, but God can begin using you right away. If you're online, you prayed that prayer, send Ready for Jesus to 94,000. That's our new believers card. Fill that out. Our new believers team will meet you and we'll send you some stuff. And even if you live in a different town, we'll help you find a good Bible-believing church to go and to be a part of. So make sure you fill that out. Now I want to pray for you. Actually, I want to bless you before you go. This is a blessing from the book of Numbers. And it said, speak God's name over the people in this way. I've shared with you before that this is the oldest scriptures we have. And it has the name of Yahweh. It has God's name on it three times. What we call the Tetragrammaton, the four letters, which is what Tetragrammaton means. So four letters. And when the Jewish people, even today, are reading the scriptures, then they get to God's name, they say either Adonai, which is Lord, they don't say God's name, or they say Hashem, which is the name. So I'm going to use Adonai or Lord as I bless you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. May you find yourself walking deeper, closer to Jesus than ever before. May you walk in the Spirit so you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You say, how can I overcome my struggles? Well, walk in the Spirit. It's a positive. Instead of battling it all the time, walk in the Spirit. Delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Abide in Christ, and He'll answer your prayers. Because you're asking for things that He wants to answer. May you find yourself the light and the salt in the midst of a dark world.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.